let's go on an adventure. Bop, bop, a shoo, bop, 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 yeah. Let's go on it together. I did it, did it, did it, let's go on an adventure. Bop, bop, shoo, bop, 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 yeah. Let's go on it forever.
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here. Welcome to another episode of the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts! Yay!
Frog!
You're probably wondering why we're talking like this, and it'll all make sense once you tune in for this episode, we promise. And it's definitely going to be a good one. So, thanks again for tuning in for another episode of the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts, brought to you from the chair city of Gardner, Massachusetts, where we spotlight and feature local area musicians.
Hello. You know, it was funny because I don't normally eat when I'm recording, but I had a piece of chocolate. I thought I had enough time to have a piece of chocolate, and it was one of those almond ones, and the almond got stuck right in the middle of my tooth. I'm like, oh my God, if I smile, there's a big chunk of almond.
Cue the banjos.
Right? Guys, thank you for, you know, bearing with me and tuning in on this episode.
That's okay. I kept them entertained.
Oh my God. We had so much fun with this episode, with this fella.
Me, Kermit?
Yeah.
You can never be me.
Hey-ho. Kermit the Frog here.
No, Kermit the Frog here.
Just absolutely incredibly talented. It was a fun hangout. We talked some stories. We had shared some laughs. It was a lot of fun. But before we get to that, here we are.
Here we are.
First week into November.
It's almost Thanksgiving.
Oh, not yet. We still got a ways to go, but we did just get past
the spooky season.
We got past we got past Halloween. Hopefully it's still pumpkin spice.
Hell no. All right, I'm going on the record right now that pumpkin spice that's outside of a pumpkin pie is a goddamn abomination.
Oh,
you heard it here first.
You take that back.
Nope.
Oh, nope. No.
It's apple pie, apple cinnamon, baby.
What about pumpkin pie?
I just said outside of pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie is good, but
the
spice needs to stay in the pie, and that's that.
What about pumpkin pie drink?
No.
What about pumpkin pie?
You can't drink a crust, man.
I mean, if you wait long enough.
No.
Ew.
No, I'm starting a petition to keep pumpkin spice in pumpkin pie, damn it.
I might fight you on that one.
I'm not scared of you, man.
I mean, I'd probably lose. We'll be honest here, but
nope. It's fucking apple cinnamon, apple pie.
I do. You know, I will admit that. You know, I do have this apple spice Glade.
The air freshener?
Air freshener spray.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Oh my God. So when the bathroom's smelling a little funky, sorry.
It smells like shittimin.
Shittimin. that's when I spray. Maybe we can get Glade to sponsor us.
I mean, if you can say their name right.
Is it Glade?
It's Glade.
Okay, good.
And Febreze. La 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 la.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sponsor us. La 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 la.
But I do love this season.
Crunchy leaves.
Yeah,
it smells so good out.
The leaves have almost fully turned against.
Oh, they gone by now.
Against humanity, and then, you have the fall festivals. Of course, town of Winchendon just had their fall festival last month. Big festival.
There's also the food truck fest at Mount Wachusett.
When's that now? Did that already happen?
No, that's in the. Entertain the folk.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
That was at some time in the timeline.
Yeah.
I do love that one, though. That one is great. I love all the food trucks that go out there. There's also a barbecue one, too, that they have that's just terrific.
Oh! It's November 3rd. Actually, the 2nd and the 3rd.
So that just
happened.
That just happened.
But that is a November fall thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, the festivals. And then the Red Apple Farm will have their Thanksgiving festival. That's usually like the weekend before Thanksgiving. So.
Don't forget to get your pies.
Your pies. Get your pumpkin pies and your pumpkin spice.
Get your apple cider donuts.
Oh, those are delicious.
They're award-winning at the Red Apple Farm.
For very good reason.
Yeah. You know, if you're one of those people that can't cook and they ask you to bring a dish to Thanksgiving, just go stop by the Red Apple Farm and go pick up, you know, a fruit of the farm pie or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely. There's just so much. I love this time of year. You know, A, you don't have to use the air conditioner. Thank God.
Yeah.
You know, you're not always sweaty. I like it when you get cold because you can always, you know, put something on and warm up. But when you're hot, which I'm always hot.
There's only so many layers that you can take off before it becomes an arrestable offense.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
So speaking of arrestable offense.
Where are we going with that?
let's get into our next guest here.
What?
That segue didn't make sense.
No. He is a wonderful feller that has nothing to do with police and felonies.
No, he's the absolute opposite. Like seriously, he is such an awesome dude.
Just derailed real quick.
Yeah. This guy is really awesome. Devoted father, devoted husband, talented musician, just terrific all around. Great sense of humor.
We laughed.
We had
a lot of good laughs.
Yeah. And guys, you'll want to stick around for the last song. I mean, all the songs are great, but you want to stick around for the last song because he plays the best song.
Oh my God!
In the world.
In the world.
In the world.
The best song in the world to the point where it basically moved me to tears, and I borderline kind of almost looked like the Joker from my mascara. Like it was beautiful. Mm. It was so touching.
It all makes sense why Kermit is here right now.
Yes. Like, it, even my mascara was running.
A little scary.
Mascara. No, but it was really, as soon as
you started playing it.
Yeah.
Like, actually, you probably don't know this, but as soon as you started playing it, I definitely flipped the camera to you to show your reaction.
Oh, really?
And yeah.
I did.
It was so wholesome. I had to.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. It was wholesome as fuck.
The second my brain's like,
I had to flip the camera to you briefly to catch your reaction to it because it was very heartwarming.
It was. So, guys, make sure you stick around for that. But let's go ahead and just get into it, shall we?
Let's begin the show! Today we are joined by Templeton, Mass. native Brian Chafee. A singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist, Brian started playing shows around age 16 and seriously gigging and playing short tours since age 20 and has been going ever since. He has been performing 100 to 150 dates a year, appearing at bars, clubs, colleges, and festivals for over 20 years, both as a solo performer and as a frontman for various original projects, and has released handfuls of recordings throughout the years. He has shared the stage with artists you might have heard of before, such as the Allman Brothers, Gretchen Wilson, Primus, System of a Down, and Zach Deputy. Some of his current projects include Brian Chafee Solo, Invisible Sun, A Tribute to the Police, and Brian Chafee in the Hot Mess. His sounds are a little bit of everything rooted in 90s grunge, folk, hip-hop, R&B, and funk. He displays a love of all genres. When he's not doing music, you can find him hanging with his wife, 3 daughters, 2 dogs, and 2 guinea pigs. Welcome to the studio, Brian.
Brian!
That was great. You did a good job.
You done good.
You did good, kid.
You did good.
You did good, kid.
What a good job.
Well, welcome to the show, Brian.
Huh, guys.
Yeah. Hi.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
I love what you do. You guys do good work.
Well, we try. It's mostly
takes one to know one, man.
It's mostly an accident, but you know, a couple accidents kind of make it good.
Hey, I got 3 kids. I know about accidents.
actually, I was an accident too.
Oopsie, baby.
The best ones are.
We are. Yes. We're beautiful accidents.
A little beautiful disasters over here.
Emphasis on disaster.
Oh.
guys, so let's welcome our...
You're my favorite mistake.
I love that song so much. I can't even tell you. Every time it comes on, I love that song. We saw her live. She played it, and I was like, I love that song. I looked at my wife, and I was like, I love this song!
Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure it's about Eric Clapton, I think.
That's
the dirty rumor, right?
All right.
But I love that song. Sorry.
I'm going to have to dive deeper into that now.
I know.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Nice.
Love you, Cheryl.
Love you, Cher Bear.
I love you.
So let's get into some questions.
Yeah.
The device that I was going to ask questions on died. So I will move on.
So Brian, care to tell us how birth went?
Birth?
Let's start from the beginning.
For me or my children? Which one?
I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. I mean,
my birth. I was the middle child of five. I have four sisters, so I have two older and two younger sisters. I'm right in the middle.
You were outnumbered.
Only boy. Yeah. The night I was being born, my birthday is coming up right now. It's September 4th.
Ooh.
I was born on...
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I was born actually on Labor Day.
Oh, that's ironic.
Yeah.
My mom is an absolute angel. God sent, beautiful woman, most amazing short Italian lady in the world. And the day of my birth, they had this huge lobster fest.
Ooh.
They literally went to probably SS Lobster, wherever, I don't know.
Yeah.
But and filled a bathtub with whatever was the cheapest lobster. It had like 30 lobsters. Everybody's eating lobster all day long.
Ooh.
End of the day, everybody goes home. My mom's like, not feeling so good. Don't know if this lobster, don't know if it's the baby.
They hop
in a van. My old man had this black van, the one you tell your kids to stay away from. And his wife and two daughters in this van and drove to Fitchburg Burbank Hospital.
Oh, no way.
Dropped my mom off. And then literally my grand folks were like max 5 minutes from there.
Right.
So he's like, I got time. I'm going to drop the other two off with grandma. I'll be back. And they left. My mom's in an elevator. They're telling her not to push. They're like, this baby's coming right now. Ooh. Like, do not push in the elevator, Louise. We get up. She does her business. My dad gets back. They're like, hey, you have a son.
Like, oh.
It was probably like a 20-minute turnaround. You know, he missed it. And you have a son.
Yeah, lobster to eat.
Was ready. Lobsters were...
Well,
you had a lobster.
He heard about that lobster. He's like, smiling.
I was a very quick labor for my mom. You're welcome. But she is an absolute saint. She has seen our family through everything under the sun. I'm a lucky man. I was raised in a house full of women. Some people might not look at that as normal or a blessing. I do.
Yeah.
It gives you a perspective in this world. And now I have three daughters. So if anybody was going to do that, that's me.
I'm the youngest out of five. And I got three sisters and a brother. So I get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like gives you perspective because
testosterone
is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, but let me tell you, estrogen is a hell of a bigger one.
I mean, you women.
You are not kidding.
You women are the true pioneers of populating this planet.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just saying.
I am in... I don't even know. I'm not going to leave it alone.
That took a turn. You got a song for us?
Absolutely.
How is that a segue?
Well, it's a perfect segue.
It's only weird if you make it weird. Let's try not to make this weird.
So in the thought of saying that, like, we would be nowhere without the women in our worlds. This song was composed. It was right after the 2020 elections. Things were upside down in the world. We didn't know what to think. And I was just like, what am I going to tell my daughters? You know, like, and so this song comes out of that feeling. I have many political beliefs. I don't talk about them in front of many people because they're mine. When we have to go and vote, I'm going to go do what I need to do.
In private, like going to the bathroom.
It's my thing. It's my thing. You know, if you're a close friend and we want to get into it, we can get into it. I have my own thoughts. But this was at that moment in that time frame when I was like, when my daughters are a little older and they ask about what was going on right now, what am I going to say? And so I wrote this song. It's called Till Then. And we'll do it right here. Is that cool?
Yeah.
We'll go right to it.
It's Goose Fabra. I do that with my youngest. Goose Fabra. Till then I'll ask myself what someday I'll say, and just what's going on. What will my people say? We walked a million miles to leave behind us this world that's torn apart. Where will they find us? All these young will know. All these ghosts not leaving me alone. If hate is your only reaction, you could use a little time in this world. When love is your only reaction, we could use our minds for a girl. This fight. Till then I'll ask myself what someday I'll say, and just what's going on. What will my people say? We marched a million miles to leave behind us this world that's torn apart. Where will they find us? They'll never find us. For the grief. When love is your only reaction, we all take to the air, to the streets, this fight. Till then I'll ask myself what someday I'll say, and just what's going on. What will my people say? We marched a million miles to leave behind us this world that's torn apart. Where will they find? I often ask myself, what will my daughters say? And just what's going on? And what would Marvin say? Forgot about one love. And what would Bob say? We give this peace a chance. What would John say? Had a dream last night. What would Martin say? We blow this world straight up. And what would God say? What would God say? She'd say. She'd say.
Wow.
Thanks, Prince.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That had such a like Dave Matthews feel to it.
I get that sometimes.
I don't know.
I like Dave.
I love Dave. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what she'll say, but I'll say this. Wow.
Yeah.
It's a
rolling joke, if you will.
That was a wow buy.
It was a wow buy.
That was great. Thanks, man. Wow. Wow. Was, you know, it's a wonder, you know, what kind of world we're leaving for our next generation. So the fact that you wrote a song about that, man, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I have questions now, okay. I think.
Oh, we're going to get fun now.
Yeah, we're going to get fun with it. Actually, you know what?
Yeah.
You just left me with a perfect segue for another question. I'm going to steal your...
You're going to steal my thunder?
Yeah. I look forward to your badgering. Bring it on.
Buckle up, Buttercup.
Buckle up.
So, speaking of, you know, the next generation and all that, do you have any advice that you would give, you know, just the younger musicians just starting out?
It's a different game than when I started. We used to, you know, I came up with bands that we would do gigs for Chump Change, and nobody took anything. We used to, everything went into the collective pot, per se, and we would save that money up, and then you'd go make an album, and then we would sell that album to try to make some money back and do more shows and promote yourself, you know. And nowadays, we very much grow up in a world where everybody, before they put out their album, they're like, Go fund me, help me make my album. And so, like, grumpy old man syndrome, like we talked about earlier, but, like, we used to put it together first and then be like, here's what we do, you know? And nowadays it's go fund me before. And I would say to the young folks, the more you can say, make yourself non-reliant on anybody else before you want to start pushing whatever your passion, your project is, the better. Like, I think that a little bit of that is lost nowadays. Everybody's very much like, give me. And nobody wants to mow 100 lawns so they can make their album. When I was a kid, you mowed 100 lawns.
You worked for it.
So you can make your album, you know, of course. Whatever that means to you. And that would be the thing for me. It's like it shouldn't be on other people to make you, give you the means.
Right.
You have the means.
Right.
Make it happen.
Well, that's the sense of entitlement these days, I think.
There you go. You know, and like, I don't mean to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. I mean, I'm
a 30-year-old boomer. I'll be the first to say it. Like,
there should be a little bit of like putting your nose into it. You know, like I was reading the Dave Grohl book.
The
Storyteller. Mm. I love it. So I have one chapter left. And it's almost like I've been pausing on finishing the book because I just...
You don't want it.
You don't want that sadness. Yeah.
Every night when the kids do their reading, I like pick up the book and I read a couple chapters and like I'm on that last chapter now. I can see it's going to get wrapped up and I don't want to wrap it up. But there's very much like that do-it-yourself mentality was huge back in the early 90s when they were doing the thing and breaking, like, you know, that guy slept on couches and floors and, you know, and the same with like the Roots. Roots are one of my favorite bands, projects all time. Same thing. You know, when they came through, they were like, wherever they could get a gig, wherever they could sleep on a floor. And I came up through that. Like that's when I was young in my 20s and doing gigs and doing small tours. Like same thing. Wherever we could get a place to sleep, wherever somebody would feed us or whatever.
Would probably like... There's a documentary on Mumford and Sons when they're like literally like hitchhiking on trains and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was amazing.
You know? I'm a big fan of that. Like giving in for your passion. Like nobody should be, you know, in control of your passion for what you want to create and stuff besides you.
I always say you're in control of your own happiness. And if you're not happy, you have the power to do something about
it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you can't handle what you want to do on this side, then just go do that side. You know,
right.
I've always lived in both worlds. I've always done gigs, and I've always worked, you know, to some means in another capacity.
Right.
And I know what I want to do to even it out. And I keep that very fresh in my mind, you know. I could very easily just be playing music and playing a bazillion dates a year at every place under the sun. But I'd be gone all
You'd be gone,
at
yeah.
the time, or I'd be out every night, you know. So you find a happy medium if you're a guy like me.
Yeah.
You know, you find I can do gigs and do recordings and have a family and do it this way. And it's different for everybody, you know. And
right.
That's why any young friends who are musicians, I always stress them, like, this is your time. Like, don't get comfortable. This is the time. If you're going to go across the country and try something, go do it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't be afraid to sleep in a sleeping bag on somebody's floor for a little while. Like, it happens. We've done it. I've done it. Like, are you always happy about where you're sleeping? No. Are you sometimes living off gas station food? Maybe.
Like, right.
But if that's what you want to try to do at that point, you do it. Nobody else is responsible. Once you're I'm a very firm believer that, like, so when I came into my 20s, it was a time frame that, like, you are in charge of what you want to do next. There wasn't so many, like, 40-year-olds growing up in their parents' basements. It was, like, at 20, 21, I was out on my own. Like, I had a couple years of college under my belt, and I was like, I'm going to figure it out on my own. I'm going to live, I'm going to live in a really crappy place. And I'm going to, you know, do weird things. But, like, I'm going to figure it out on my own. And I think it's a little bit what we miss in this world nowadays is people are too comfortable.
There's a lot of hand-holding.
You got to get comfortable.
I shouldn't take it to this place.
No. Listen, we're here for it, man.
No, seriously. So
it's like a therapy session.
That's what it is.
It is. It's music therapy. You got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
It's whistle pig for the soul, if you will.
Yes, it is whistle pig. but seriously.
It's the French show.
Yes.
The French show to make is
we.
Oui.
I think with media and then how they're depicting the music industry these days, there's a lot of disconnect between all the work that goes in behind the music, you know?
We were talking about this earlier, like just your production alone. Like for an hour's worth of scene footage, you guys are putting in 4 hours of work.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Nobody's ever going to see that or know that.
Nope.
Or like when an artist goes and makes it an album, you know, like for the 45 to an hour of music you get finished product.
Yep.
How many takes was that?
Oh, my God. Like hours and hours and hours and days and days and months and months and months. And like, you know, this because we're beyond the point where like it used to be a band goes into the studio and takes a handful of takes at a song.
Right.
And then puts out the best one. You know, we're kind of beyond that at this point.
And we're not like, you know. Amazing, like what's his face, the guy that did Over the Rainbow with the ukulele in one take.
I mean we have like 12 hours of Nikki getting through intros footage.
I wonder why that is, Christopher.
I don't know.
Well, you know, it used to always amaze, like I would come home after a day at the studio with my wife and she'd be like, well, how'd it go, what'd you do, you know? And you'd be like, well, we got this song done. She's like, you got one song done? You were gone for like 9 hours. You got one song. I'm like, well, yeah, because you cut this and you do that and you fix this. And you're like, there's no, unless you're in it, there's no perspective about how much it takes to get the finished product, you know?
Right. I mean, we're going through right now, we're recording or orchestrating a record of our season 2 theme song with Route 2 Revolution and Wachusett Recording Studio. And
they're great, by the way. Everything I hear out of them, they're great.
Yeah, they're great. But they're getting like a saxophone and trumpet player, and like they're going all in.
Is it going to be like a ska themed? Like,
I don't know. It's gonna be awesome. Whatever.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's gonna be a whole thing.
Ouch.
But yeah, no, it's gonna be it's gonna be epic. But again, you know, we got to book a whole like evening of recording. We had to orchestrate everybody's schedule to come into the studio. They've been practicing they've never played with a saxophone player before.
If we can have like a Mighty Mighty Boston's sounding theme.
Yeah, you know it.
Let's do it.
Of course, at this point, people have already heard our opening.
That's true.
Yeah, so, but
a little behind the music.
A little bit behind the music. But you're absolutely right, Brian. There's a lot of work that goes into it. I'm sure with you perfecting your craft, it's been a labor of love.
Absolutely. Any song that you see me play out live, I've played 100 times in my house.
Yeah.
Like my family hates me because I have played whatever song, you know what I mean, that many times. They're right. Like, dude, you play that song one more time, Dad, we're cutting it off. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're... the lights are off. We don't care anymore. Right. Don't play that song yet. You know, you're like, I'm trying to get it good. Like, play it tonight, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what it is. It's funny. There's that meme on Facebook where there's like somebody like praising the musician, like, oh, it must be so great to have that natural talent, blah, 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 blah. And like the meme is like, you know, the musician's like, oh, it's practice. And then they go on further and they're like, oh, but just to have that natural ability and blah, 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 hootie, blah, blah. And you're, and the musician's like, no, actually, it's just practice. And it goes on like three or four times where every time this person's praising the musician, you're like, no, it's just practice. Like, that's what you've done it hundreds of times, you know?
Right. Right.
Like recording this show, you've got it to so many times that the next time you do it is better, hopefully.
Yeah, you right. It's I mean, I think with our newer generation, they don't understand that, or they haven't been told that, or they don't hear that. And it's absolutely true. Like, anything that you want to put out there in the universe that you want to be good and something that you can be proud of, it's going to take work. It's going to take practice. It's going to take a lot of sacrifice, you know, and I don't think people really understand that. Like, if, you know, for this studio, this is all like out of pocket investment. You know, we don't have, as of right now, we don't have any sponsors.
If anybody wants to sponsor us, we won't say no.
I mean, will find sponsors for you. I think you guys are worth every second.
Thanks, friend.
I love what you do. I love your commitment to every, like, just being in the middle of what's going on.
Oh,
I
think my heart. Thank you.
So great. It's refreshing. You guys are connected to so many people.
Oh, thanks.
And I think you're barking down the right trees, and somebody's going to catch on.
Well,
somebody with more money than me is going to catch on. I feel it.
Spread the word. That's the best thing you do. Spread the word.
We don't really try too hard, you know, with trying to get sponsors. But you know that you mentioned refreshing here at Musical Chairs in Massachusetts. We like nothing more than a refreshing cup of polar seltzer beverage.
I love the polar seltzers. So refreshing.
So refreshing.
Listen to that spicy water over here.
You might say that it fuels every segment.
It does. Anyways, we don't really try to.
Sorry.
You want to talk about spicy water over here?
There's a huge difference between polar seltzer going through the nose and Whistle Pig whiskey going through the nose.
Oh my God.
It burns.
It burns.
A little backstory. This guy over here made me laugh so hard earlier that I literally spit out and had polar seltzer come out my nose at the same time.
It was enjoyable.
0 out of 10. Do not recommend.
No sparkles.
No. It
no sparkles.
Smelled like ouch.
It did not feel like unicorns.
It did not. Yeah. It did not.
The texture of it. There's the texture.
It felt like ouch. Yeah.
Speaking of unicorns.
Whoa, where are we going with this?
This is an off the rails segue. How about another song?
Sure. That's actually a good segue.
Is it really?
This is a love song.
Oh.
About, I would say, my unicorn. But you always have to remember, so it's very important when you start a family, when you are a lover, when you are in a relationship, you have to, like, commit to being a partner in it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think this, in a lot of ways, is my commitment, me saying that, you know, no matter what, I got you. Like, we're going to be okay. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that's important to realize that in a relationship. You know, I hear a lot of gripes, friends who have wives and they come home and they come to work or they go wherever, they come out and about, you run into them and then they're like, my wife made me do this.
Harumph, 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 harumph.
I don't want that. I don't want that at all. Like, I feel better taking a deep breath and figuring out the next best thing to say. You know what I mean? Like, you can't can't play that side of the card. You have to be like, we're in it together. We're in it together. Like, don't.
Yeah, you're a team. It's a partnership.
Exactly. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I'm so thankful. I have the most wonderful partner in the world, and she supports me 100%. And this is kind of an ode to her to just say, like, thank you, and I got you. Like, we'll figure this out. You know what I mean?
Love that so much.
This song is called My Love. Say what's on my mind, and you're what's on my mind. It's the prime time. Oh, I'll show you once or twice. You're my only vice, I swear. Ain't no difference to me, as far as anyone can tell. There's no difference to me if it all comes tumbling down. Ain't no difference as long as you're around, my love. Been a long time since I could spin you around the room. All these dreams made for two. It's the prime time. Oh, 'cause love is everywhere, in your breath and in your hair, I swear. Ain't no difference to me, as far as anyone can tell. There's no difference to me if it all comes tumbling down. There's no difference as long as you're around. This is all a vision. This is all I see. This is for our future. As long as you and me, tell the world it happens and nothing intervenes. This is for your wisdom. This is for our dreams. This is when our old age. This is for our babes. This is when the whole damn world comes screeching to a halt and claims we all made it happen. We all intervene. This is how it happened. This is all I see. Ain't no difference to me, as far as anyone can tell. There's no difference to me if it all comes tumbling down. There's no difference long as you're around. my love.
Woo!
Wow.
What
that was beautiful.
What thanks. What a lucky lady. I was gonna say
No. I.
Oh yeah.
I'm a lucky man.
Oh, there you go.
I give you that shit.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say Wookiee wife. I don't know what.
I'm a bit of a Wookiee.
This sounds like relationship goals. Is what this I know. Is. Seriously. I love this so much.
So what I think it comes from is I grew up in a house of all women. Right. I have four sisters and my mom, a little Italian lady. So my sisters were all basically little Italian babies, kind of. And my wife came from a house where she had two brothers, no sisters, opposites.
Oh, so okay.
She was a smidge of a tomboy, not really.
Yeah.
But just enough where she used to go work on houses with her dad. Her dad was an amazing carpenter.
Oh, nice.
And so she would be very much into all those things, like anything at the house. I'm the luckiest dude in the world because my wife will fix things before I fix them.
Oh, nice.
You know, where some
hear that very often.
Yeah, I know.
Some ladies are like, I'm just going to wait till he fixes that. You know, like my wife is, if she's got a screwdriver or a hammer and she can finish it, I almost said a hamburger. My wife's got a hamburger and she can finish it.
That's more like me.
She will. She's not going to wait. And I love that.
That's cool.
So it's a very equal honey-do list, if you will.
Yeah. We should stop this talk because we're going to turn so many people off by...
No, maybe we can set a good example.
Yeah,
exactly. Let's have a little more faith in humanity and boost that a little bit, that's you know. Right. Well, like it says right behind you, you know, just...
She's be cool.
Be cool. Take care of each other. It's not that freaking hard, people.
It's not freaking hard. It's not hard at all.
No.
You
know? No, that's cool.
Anyways.
Anywho.
So, I want to, you know, okay, when I first found out about you,
found out about you.
I
love them, by the way. The Gin Blossoms are
yes.
People, there's not enough credit given to the Gin Blossoms.
No, they're great.
No.
But anyways.
Yeah. I didn't realize, I knew of your music, I knew you were great, but I didn't realize how long that music history has been part of your life. And I didn't realize how many really cool experiences you've had playing with some other, other bands, other musicians, whatever. Do you happen to have a specific experience that stands out from all of them?
There's a lot of weird ones. I mean, there's really, really weird ones. There's sad ones. There's back in the Franco, maybe my husband days.
Yeah.
Refer back to Franco O'Malley's episode for that story, and it'll all make sense now.
It'll all make sense.
There was a hospital involved. There was some allergies and some spider bite. Anyways.
Yeah.
You know, we were very much a young... I was with a band called Krakow back then, and we were very much a young band with a hot sound, and we were dealing with management from across the country, and we were doing all those things that start to happen for a young band back in the late 90s, almost 2000s. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But we, the things that you experience, the things that can go wrong when everything else is going right, you know, like are things that land a band. So the band Krakow I'm speaking of, was me and some very old friends, Templeton natives, and we did like this jam band, sometimes hip hop kind of thing, and we hooked up with some management in the early 2000s. I think it was either 99 or early 2000s, down in Nashville, Tennessee. We went down there to do some shows, and we hooked up with this one gig that we didn't know much about, and we ended up kind of in a biker bar in Tennessee. Now, we are a bunch of northern boys in Tennessee. We're doing like a jam band hip-hop kind of thing. Now, you could kind of like guess that maybe not everybody there was going to be into that. It was like the worst misbooking in the world, you know? So, like, we get up there, and we kind of already are feeling it out, and we're like, I don't know about this. This is not a good place for us to be. And we get up there, and we start doing our first set, and we're just like, we were just getting kind of angry looks and stuff. And yeah. There, it's like this spiker bar was like this thing where like the bar itself was in the middle of this rotary where a lot of the bikers would just ride around as things were going on. And if they were feeling violent and they didn't like the band, like things got weird, like really fast, really weird. So we're kind of like getting through our material. We're an original band. We play some covers, which has always kind of been my thing. Like I do a little bit of both. And like, as we're getting to the end of the set, we're like, oh my God, like we are Neil Young and these people are Lynyrd Skynyrd. And this is never going to work and somebody's going to kill us. Yeah. So we kind of finish our set and we a little bit break a few things down and I go to find whoever's in charge. And I'm like, hey, listen, I don't know how this happened, but there was clearly like a misbooking here. Like, I don't think we're the band for you guys tonight. Like,
right.
Maybe we could take half and just get the out of here. And the owner looked at me. He's like, yeah, I think that the best, you know, and like kind of gave me like, and you're like, okay. And you're like, you took a little bit of money. It was like peanuts back then. Yeah. And I went back to the stage and I was like, guys, pack up your stuff fast. And it's one of these moments where like we are packing up our gear and it was getting almost violent. Like with the way they felt about what we were doing and the music we were doing. And as we were just about done, everything's in the van, we're just almost out of there. One of the hot albums that AJ, the drummer, and I, he's a dear friend of mine, we were listening to was the first Roots album. And we had that in the van and he started the van and like that album came on and like it was, we were dodging. It was like it was like a Blues Brothers scene. We were dodging glass bottles as we pulled out of this venue, you know, with this hip hop album. Like as soon as we realized it was ugly and there was nothing we could do, it's almost like he turned the album up. He was screw him. Like, I shall proceed and continue to rock the mic. Bang, bang, bottles breaking in. We're like, oh my God, we're going to die. Man. Oh my God. It was one of the first times that I had really witnessed something that extreme.
Yeah.
Wrong band, wrong place. Like,
it's a bit surreal right there.
Somebody didn't read the room here.
No. Who booked us here?
Yeah.
They clearly wanted to hear like anything but us. You know what I mean?
It's like Pee Wee Herman walking into that, that bar. He's like, squeaky, squeaky. And everybody just turns around and looks at him. And then he
knocks all the bikes over.
And then he knocks all of the bikes over and they make him dance on the, you know, a bar top with the tequila.
Yeah.
Jeez.
The rest is history. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Rest in pieces.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Well,
that's one of my oldest memories. My oldest gigging memories.
Nice. Wow. That's a good one right there. That's a good one. Speaking of you know, those type of experiences, do you have a crazy one?
Well, that was pretty crazy.
That was pretty crazy. A favorite one. I guess I'll go back to the favorite. Like
a favorite crazy?
A favorite crazy. Yeah. Like, do you have so we've had a couple stories in the past. You know, one of them involving Teletubbies.
I'm sure you've probably heard
that one.
I'm sure
you've heard that one.
Yeah. It's like, there was no Teletubbies for me. There was no Teletubbies.
No.
A favorite one. So I would guess that like it was sort of in that same era. It might have been slightly before. I've had a lot of great moments. Like typically, I would say any good moment on stage for me is when I look out and see somebody who, when I'm playing one of my songs, I see somebody singing.
Oh, that is cool.
The words back to me.
Yeah.
You recognize that somebody realizes it's your song and they're singing it. Those are the best moments. You're like, they get it. They connect. Yeah. They're here to see me. They don't care about what else I do. Those are some of the best moments.
That's awesome.
It's kind of like the Piano Man song. Yeah.
Exactly.
I realize it's me. They've been coming to see and forget about life for a while.
Exactly. Those are the best moments, you know, because I do live in this world where I play both my stuff and I play covers. And I try to find the happy medium. Like, and with that said, like, I never play a cover for the most part that I don't wish I wrote.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that makes sense. It's
always been my thing. Like, I grew up in a world where, like, a lot of my friends and fellow musicians early on were big Fish fans.
Oh, yeah.
And I love sonically what those guys can do. Like, there are people who just right away, they're turned off by the whole jam band thing. I'm kind of like right down the middle. There's stuff that I love. There's stuff that I'm like, eh, you know, Grateful Dead fans. Like,
yeah.
They like Grateful Dead fans are hardcore. Right. That's what they listen to. Me, I'm like, man, there are some songs that they have that I wish I wrote.
Right.
And sometimes I'm just like,
eh. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But Fish for me when I was coming up was like, they used to create this sound that was just beyond anything you could comprehend sonically. Like, it didn't matter who was singing. If there was singing, it was like this soundscape of like this, like just mood music, like you were getting a massage and this was just setting the tone or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I was always a big jazz guy. So for me, like, sonic palettes were huge. I was always like, it doesn't have to be singing. You know, we always had this joke about, oh, aren't there any words to this song? You know, yeah, like people like who don't have the attention span to sit through something that's just music or whatever. We used to joke like that. But I very much came from that school. Like, I could sit through a whole show with nobody singing, and I'd be perfectly happy.
Well, I mean, some of your best albums happened that way. Like, you know, they were very different for their time.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't get it, especially the producers or the distributors. They were like, well, we're not going to put this on the radio. Like, and
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I was going to go. You know, look at that album. Like, come on. Like, you know, can you picture a world where that didn't get released?
No.
Right.
Why? We'd be all horrible people.
Yeah.
We'd be awful people if Bohemian Rhapsody didn't
exist. Really would. Seriously.
Every day you would wake up and be less of a person because Bohemian Rhapsody did not exist.
Scaramouche.
Yeah, Scaramouche.
Can you do the Fandango?
So we saw Pink. We brought our girls to their first big concert. We saw Pink.
No, nice.
It was awesome. They had a great time, and I was a little bit. We were like researching. My oldest daughter has the Spotify, and she like listens to stuff. She found like the live Pink playlist, and they do a version of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Whoa!
And I listened to it. It was killer, and I was just like a little kid. I'm like, oh my god! I hope they play that. I hope they play that.
Christopher, write this down.
She's got this band. She's got this band that they can all slay this song. You know, they didn't play it. It's okay.
Uh huh.
But just to recognize that it could be that much of a thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Generation. They did play Four Non Blondes, What's Going On.
Yes.
And my daughters, who have no business knowing what that song is, could sing every word.
But it's a classic. Oh,
you know? And I remember Pink saying, like, oh, this is like, I was 13 in my room screaming this at the top of my lungs, and I'm like, I was 13 in my room singing this. Like, you had that connection.
Brian,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Do I dare say it's iconic?
It's iconic. Sorry.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
If you're under 20, you should not say the word. No, under 25.
Okay, boomer.
Don't tell me that something's iconic.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
What's wrong with me?
Oh, man. But yeah.
Hold on, what's wrong with you? As Oliver Anthony says, you know, you're living in the new world with an old soul. I mean,
I am an analog man in a digital world. Would you please plug my HBO box in? When I was a young kid, we didn't have cable. At the beginning, we didn't have cable.
That's right.
We had a box with one button.
One knob.
You could choose to have HBO. It would pipe. Whatever the hottest movies were in
at
that time, you know, you get the whole HBO.
Oh my god, that intro!
Yeah,
that intro, man. You knew your Friday was going to be lit when you heard that intro. Like, this is going to be good.
First time I saw Star Wars was on HBO.
Yeah,
you know, like I was just young enough and just old enough where like I couldn't see it in the theater. But like when it came out on HBO, I was maybe four or something. I don't know what the hell.
But, right.
You parked it.
Just about the right age.
Yeah.
And saw it. And then I remember the next Christmas was nothing but Star Wars. Every action figure under the sun.
Nice. I've never seen a single Nikki's never Star seen. Wars ever. Mm.
Star Wars she has not seen.
I know. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. I'm just going back and forth now between...
Desire this cheeseburger you do not.
Mm. Very good. Very good impression it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to go take a walk now.
Nikki's like, exit stage left.
She needs a moment. Yeah,
he does. We, you know, growing up was a different thing for us. And especially, I think, in the music industry, the music scene was a lot different for us. I know myself, I grew up a lot with WAF. The grunge era.
Living in this area, you absolutely had to.
Yeah.
You know, like, unless you were into either oldies or into hip hop.
That was a household staple right there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. When I grew up, it was so, there was the things that were like ingrained in you from being a young child. Like we had a lot of 45s in the house. Like it was the 80s. It was everything from Men at Work to The Police to, Playing with the King of Hearts, you know, everything in that genre, like 45s. My folks had a stack of 45s. Like, you could,
oh, yeah.
They probably do. It's in an attic somewhere. I'm going to find it, you know, when they pass, God forbid. But you had all that stuff. And then reaching up into the 90s, you had this explosion of a few different genres that just, like, you know, I was a young kid. Play keyboard, learning to play Jump Van Halen because it was my favorite song.
Yeah.
But learning, like I told you guys, all those hip hop songs at the same time on keyboard. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and then like being a keyboard player in the beginning, and Nirvana breaks, and I start trying to figure out Smells Like Teen Spirit on a keyboard.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you start like there was all these. Oh man, it was a good time, and I grew up. Where we were four or five kids, it was like quintessential early rock and roll kids. Like, we all plugged into the same fucking amplifier.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, there was a lot of, like, ugly distortion sounds. But we were 13, 14, 15 years
That's
old.
That's grunge right there.
And we were making noises. We were like, ugh, yeah. You know, you did it. Nobody knew anything about music, but we knew what sounded good. And we just... We learned by doing it together, you know? Hey, don't play that. I'm playing this. Don't play that. Try this. You know, like that type of vibe.
Right. So you know, we'll segue into this one. Going back that far, do you remember what the first song was that you learned how to play?
Well, it depends on what instrument.
Well, yeah.
So on key, well, I was a trumpet player before anything.
Wow.
So early trumpet days... early trumpet playing days. I had an amazing music instructor, Stephen Babineau.
Oh.
Steve, if you're out there, I'm sure you're not listening to this, but thank you. He was very influential. He was very supportive. He recognized early on that I had an ear for music. You know, I read old report cards where he was like, something about this kid kind of deal, you know? Mm-hmm. So there was that foundation for me where like in early on he would in band at fourth, fifth and sixth grade, we would play songs like Tequila.
Yeah.
But at the same time we were playing like Living on a Prayer or like
nice.
Everybody Dance Now or whatever, you know. Ooh. There was a handful of these songs that we figured out, you know?
Right.
And so that was my basis for music. And then after a few years of trumpet, I started really getting privy to the piano. I mentioned earlier my mom bought me a keyboard for like my 13th Christmas or something.
Yeah.
That really set the basis for me learning how to play something else. And that's when I like picked it. I like learned Jump Van Halen. I learned November Rain.
Oh, that's
I learned
awesome.
Like the outro to Faith No More epic.
Yeah.
Like when the fishes like flopping around in the video. Yeah. Like, I learned all those things. And then, like I said, I was sort of halfway between learning hip hop songs of the time and learning these alternative or rock or grunge songs on keyboard.
Nice.
And so I was kind of had a little bit of this and that, you know. I didn't know where I was. I was a drummer for a while.
Oh, wow.
And then I kind of just decided I was going to play keyboard. Then I started picking up a guitar. Then it was like one thing led to the other, led to the other, led to the other. Same thing with music. It was like I was a huge Chili Peppers fan. So, well, where do they get their sound? And oh, right. They were into Parliament Funkadelic. Okay, I'm going to listen to Parliament Funkadelic. Next thing you know, I'm 19 years old at a Parliament Funkadelic show, getting pulled up on stage, like singing with George Clinton, like, you know, like just like things you dream about. You're like, this is the best moment in my life. You know, you're like, how is this happening right now? I'm about to sing with P-Funk. And then some kid from Van Meter Amherst, like, causes distraction and everybody gets pulled off the stage. You're like, dude, I was going to sing with George Clinton.
Yeah. What the you killed it, you bastard. You
killed it, man. You couldn't control your Coors Light.
Right.
I remember my first beer.
That's a different question.
That's a good one.
Wow. Oh, well, you know, I think it's time for another song, I think.
Yeah.
You have anything for us?
I have one.
Okay.
Do we have, am I looking at a couple or am I looking at one?
I think we can squeeze in one more after this one, I think.
Okay. Yes. Just so I know.
No, for planning purposes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I don't believe I caught the title on that one.
That one's called Get a Picture.
Get a Picture. Nice. Love it.
That's a tough one for me. That's a really cold one for me.
Is it? Yeah.
That was George Floyd era.
Okay.
That was witnessing something that nobody should ever have to watch. Oh. But millions and millions of peoples across the world watched what happened. And however you felt, whatever political party you aligned yourself with, whatever was going on, it was just sad, man.
Yeah.
It was like, why would anybody want to? It's tough.
Yeah.
Tough time. Yeah. And we were in the middle of COVID, and it was just, things were so hard. It's so cold.
Mm.
And the fact that it happened was one thing. The fact that we all watched it was another thing.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what his deal was in life. It mattered that we all watched that. And
right.
It was just not okay.
Right.
You know
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Very inhumane.
So, yeah. Mm. It was just the worst thing. You know, you watch that video and you see the cries of the people that were there. Like, it's just sad.
Right.
And then it was used afterwards. It was used on both sides of things to be a bartering tool or a political gain. And that was even more sad. It was like, dude, we just had a human being, you know. Just awful. Like, what?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
We are better than that.
We are.
As a human race of all that. Yeah.
We have to be better than that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you said, it'd be cool. Take care of each other.
It's not that hard.
It's not that hard.
It's not that hard, man.
It's not that hard.
I know. I've been
sorry. I just brought everything down.
No.
Do take me down. No,
don't bring me down.
Don't bring me down.
I like Brian. I am so thankful for you guys. This is an opportunity for me to play a lot of original stuff that like doesn't necessarily.
Yeah, we're here for it.
Oh, yeah.
Get played at a live gig. You know, like
right.
I'm in these gigs a lot of times where I play two covers and original, two covers and stuff like that. Where I'm lucky enough, I get to play them.
Yeah,
But I don't always get to showcase them.
Right.
So I felt today I get to showcase them.
That's what we're all about here. That's what we're
about. Yeah. I mean,
spotlighting and showcasing, you know, local area musicians.
Yeah. It's an intimate format, and we like to kind of explore the musical journey that our musician guests are going on, and give them an opportunity to really, you know, expose themselves in a non-illegal way.
But like you said, it's one of those situations where, like, the majority of the people, you know, they hear you because they're out and about, but in your standpoint, you have to basically read the room.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You can't just, you know, do whatever you feel. You have to read the room as a whole.
You can't play hip-hop in a country bar. Country bar.
In Nashville, Tennessee. In a biker bar.
Yeah, and here it's just anything goes. You know, whatever your heart desires,
Yeah, it gives the audience, our audience, an opportunity to get to know you. You get to know the person behind the music and really connect.
That's what it's all about.
I like it a lot.
That's awesome.
I love you, Daddy.
Nikki, you got any questions?
I love you, Daddy. Let's see. Can you share a moment where you think you made a significant impact through your music?
Oh, my goodness. I remember seeing this question and thinking, how the hell do I don't know how to answer this one.
Okay.
You picked a good one, Nikki.
I think I kind of touched upon it earlier. Anytime I look out and I'm playing something and like I see people singing along, it fills my heart. You know, it's like I'm doing my job. Like they're singing along, they're feeling what I'm
doing. Think about it. It's like a full circle moment at that point. Not only did you touch them, but now it's like it's coming back, you know, full circle at you.
There are specific moments here and there that like somebody really just walks up to you and says, hey, man, like you. Like, I need you to know how much it means to me that you played this or you did that or you sang this song or, like, I love that song that you wrote. Or, you know, things like that. You know, there's specific moments that you're, like, you'll never really forget. But, you know, overall, it's just when somebody really connects, like, and says, thank you for doing it. This is my release. This is my therapy. I appreciate you playing this. Those are the moments. Like, that's what I do. Because for me, that's what it is. It's like, I can work any odd job under the sun for the rest of my life to support me and my family. Like, I don't care what it is. Like, I can work at Cumbie's. I can drive a truck. I can do whatever. Like, the fact that I get to do music, to provide some sort of amount for my family, is brilliant to me. Like, it's like, I feel like I'm cheating. I feel like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I know that I could be doing way better. I could be making way more, but like, the fact that I get to do it at all is a cheat for me. The hustle, like all the rappers in the 90s were like, it's the hustle. I got my hustle. You know,
hustle
like,
hard.
It's like, it's my hustle. I find out the right combination of gigs per year that I get to do with while I drive a truck or sell shaved steak. And it's like, I find that the right combination. And I don't have to do every corner gig under the sun. I can do the ones I want to do. I can play original tunes while I do it. Find the right formula. That's what it's about for me.
Yeah.
God, you know, if God ever blessed me with the opportunity to just go out and do my stuff all over the place, wherever the hell I wanted to.
Yeah, live your truth.
I would absolutely do it. You know what I mean?
Right. But
at the deficit of not providing for my family or not being in a safe zone, I don't really care that much. Like, I'm...
Yeah.
I'm even Steven, baby.
Yeah. And it gives you a little bit of a creative freedom to kind of just not have to really worry about, all right, like, I need to get these many gigs in order to get these many bills paid.
Right.
You know, you got some flexibility there. And that's cool. That's cool.
It's just where I want to be. Yeah. I always say that at work. I'm like, I'm just where I want
to be. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So we are nearing the end. Brian, this has been a lot of fun. Like,
much fun.
You guys are hilarious. I love every second of hanging out with you. That, like, we probably should do this just without even mics on. Like,
yeah, seriously. Her and I were talking about, like, hey, let's get all the past guests and let's not even record. Let's just go around a bonfire.
Just have a
just hang out. You know, like, come on. But yeah, no, we really appreciate you coming down. We appreciate the music you've shared with us. We do have time for one more song.
I am going to play for you probably the greatest song ever written.
I'm excited.
And if you don't agree, then just please hold your thoughts until we're done recording.
Or just don't say anything at all.
Don't say anything at all.
I've only heard a tribute to the best song ever.
If anybody anybody has a real problem with it, I'll give you the rest of any one of these bottles.
Oh.
It's fine. But I can't help. I don't know what it was a couple years back. Something told me to learn the song, and I've played it out live a bunch. And people really, really respond to it, man. People know it. They sing it. They love it. It has been the thing for me that, like, I show up in weird places, and people recognize me, and they're like, oh, you played the Rainbow Connection.
Yeah.
So this is probably one of the greatest songs ever written.
Nice.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. Rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. But I know the wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers and me. Said that every wish should be heard and answered. Wished on a morning star. Somebody thought of that. Someone believed it. Look what it's done so far. What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing. What do we think we might see? Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers and me, all of us under its spell. You know that it's probably magic. Have you been half asleep or have you heard voices? I've heard them calling my name, oh Kermie. Is this the sweet sound? Cause the young sailor's voice must be one and the same. I've heard it too many times to ignore. It's something that I'm supposed to be. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers and me. La 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 la. Hi ho, I'm here with you for hey.
Woo! Oh my God!
Seriously,
chills.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Love that song.
Yeah.
So many people love that song.
Hi ho, Kermit the Frog here. I love this song.
Oh, Kermit.
Yeah, we have a little Lego Kermit the Frog with a banjo.
Complete with this little rainbow.
Complete with a little rainbow. Like, how that's how you know this is. This isn't like an accident. This is
meant to be. Yes. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Hi ho, Kermit the Frog here. Hi ho, I'm Kermit the Frog.
Brian, it is me, Kermit, over here. I just wanted to let you know that you touched my soul.
I love you, Kermit. Thank you.
I love you, Kermit.
You touched my soul.
Have you seen that Jim Henson?
Oh, I cried. Yes. I'm not a crier when it comes to movies, but that got me, and Won't You Be My Neighbor freaking got me.
Oh, yeah. No, that was something.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Well, I still have goosebumps.
I know. That is the best song ever.
Oh my God.
There's one rival, but we don't have time for me to play it.
No.
I'll tell you guys after.
Let's leave this.
Tell you once we turn record off. I'll tell you what the other rival
is. No, I feel like this is the perfect way to end this.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much again for coming down and blessing us with the rains of Africa. thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
guys. This has been fun.
This has been fun for me as well. I appreciate you guys very much.
And then just to let people know,
Kermit thanks you as well.
before we let you go, any gigs or shows coming up after November 4th or 2nd?
Like I said earlier
in the live feed,
we have a November 7th, Invisible Sun at the Burren in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Somerville.
If you like the music of the Police, I have I'm part of an amazing tribute act. Usually I do originals and some fun covers, and sometimes I do this Police tribute act with these dudes that are my local heroes. They're like the Avengers of music in my area. Ooh. Like, when I got part of this, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, it's Captain America, if you like the music at the Police, November 7th at the Burren in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Okay.
You can find the best Police tribute act that this guy ever was in.
Nah.
See the disclaimer?
Actually,
in a very fun side note, November 3rd, you guys know Frank O'Malley.
Oh, of course.
The legend, the man, the myth, the legend.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I love that dude. Yep. Sunday Night Soundbites. At the Brew Barn. On November 3rd, I will be featuring with my daughter, Natalie.
Ooh.
Who is 13 and an amazing sax player.
Nice.
And we're going to play some really choice cuts. Like, I was like, Oh, and do some sax songs?
Okay. Yeah.
We got some stuff. We got some Men at Work. We got some Dave Matthews. We got
That's awesome.
Some really fun stuff. And she's so excited. And I'm so excited. November 3rd at the Brew Barn.
That's going to be special.
A family occasion. That's it's a family affair.
That's a family affair.
Let's get it.
Okay, that counts as a fifth song.
Right.
Mary J.
Mary J.
Mary J, come on our show.
Right. I appreciate you. Again, where can people find your music?
You can find me at brianchafeymusic.com, which will give you links to the Spotify, to the Facebook, to the YouTube, to the whatever, whatever kids do nowadays. I don't even know.
There's kids in their TikToks.
There are kids in the TikTok. I don't do the TikTok. I'm not
a TikTok. No, neither am I. I do not do it.
They're snapfishing.
TikTok, you don't stop. TikTok. No, I don't do the TikTok.
No, I don't need to stop because I never did it to begin with.
I already got a TikTok. It's in my chest.
It's that thing on the wall up there.
It's the clock. What's the big deal?
Just all I could say is just remember to be cool to each other.
Yeah.
So easy.
Yeah.
A second out of your day, a smile, 2 seconds to say thank you or you're welcome or let me get that for you or whatever you can say to just make somebody's day easier. It goes further than you ever realize it. Yeah. And if we all recognize that, the world is going to be way better. Just that's it.
Yeah.
Cheers to that, man.
Peace. Amen.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it. Yep. Be kind, man.
We can all be better.
We can. Yep.
So. Love it. On that note, I think that's a great way to sign off.
That is a great way to sign off.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian.
Much love.
This has been another episode of the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts. We thank you for tuning in, and make sure you're subscribed and following us on all our socials and on YouTube, especially. And guys, thank you so much. Let's do a one of our special buys.
I'm gonna say in the great words of Brian Chafee, be cool, take care of each other. It's not that hard.
Don't get up.
Don't
F it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Cheers. The Musical Chairs of Massachusetts has been handcrafted for your listening pleasure. Hosted by Chris Guerra. Co-hosted and produced by Nikki Cross. Audio engineering and talent booking by Nikki. Audio, video engineering and graphic designs by Chris. Theme song written and recorded by Route 2 Revolution. This has been a CG Broadcasting production.